from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
She came and began to bow down and said, Lord, you've got to help me. And the Lord says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And I looked at that and I read it and I said, Lord, that's not nice. You're supposed to be a Christian. I looked at that and I thought, this woman was living like her life depended on it. And the Lord said, your faith is great. Listen carefully. Great faith is only built when you live like your life depends on it.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Someone once said, life will not give you what you want. It won't give you what you deserve, and it won't give you what is fair. Life will only give you what you will settle for. Well, if that's true, Pastor Wayne has one more thing to add to it. He says, unless you live like your life depends on it, you will settle for less. Here he is with a message entitled, Live Like Life Depends on It.
Today I want to talk about if we brought life to the irreducibles of three major things, your faith, your family, and your ministry. I want to talk about how to live like your life depended on it. In those three areas. Now, a lot of times we throw our lives away in other areas and we forget about the three most important core of our being. Our faith, which is our relationship with Christ vertically. It's who you are when no one is around that you're trying to impress. It's who you are when no one's looking. Your faith. And then your family or those in closest proximity to you that you have relationship with. And if you think about our lives, if you reduce it to about 50 people, those are the people, there's about 50, that's the ones that you live most daily with. Or you have acquaintances with others, but it's usually about 50 people, your family, your classmates, etc., people at work. That's about what your life is, span of care or reach of your life. So your faith, your family, and then your ministry. The ministry is what emanates from the health or the lack of health from the first two. If there's a lack of vertical health in your faith or family, it's going to affect your ministry. If there's health, it'll affect it as well. So I want to talk to you about living like your life depended on it. But before we do, let me give you a little story. His name was Smitty. Smitty was a collegiate freshman football player, and he was a place kicker. So when they needed a routine field goal, then he'd kick it. But Smitty wanted to make a mark. He wanted to be known. He didn't want to just be known as a routine field goal kicker. I mean, he wanted to make his mark. And his chance for that came when they were playing a crosstown rival team. They were just a point or so behind, and it was getting towards the end of the game, and the coach sends Smitty in to kick a field goal. So, Smitty, come on, you can do it. And that would tie up the game. But he thought, no, if I did a fake kick and ran it in for a conversion, I'd get an extra point. And we'd pull ahead. Why, that would, everyone would just think I'm a hero. So he ran in there and he called the huddle and he said, we're going to do a fake field goal. And he said to the placeholder, just throw me the ball when you get it. And the one who was a placeholder said, that's not what the coach said. Just toss me the ball. So sure enough, they hiked it, and the placeholder lateraled the ball to Smitty, and he started running around the end, but out of nowhere, one of the opposing tackles broke through and nailed him like a freight train. Bang! He went down. The ball fumbled up. One of the opposing players grabbed it and started running towards the opposite end zone. All of Smitty's team's players were chasing him. No one could catch him. He went over the midway, 50, then to the 45 and the 40. Then out of the blue, here comes this little guy, Smitty, running like a blaze of fire. He ran, started pacing him at about the 25 and tackled this guy on the 20-yard line. Everyone was shocked that he had so much speed. Even the assistant turned to the coach on the sideline and said, did you know Smitty had wheels like that? This guy can run. He even outran all of our own best runners. And the coach said, you want to know why? Why? Said the assistant. He said, because our guys were running because they were supposed to. Smitty was running because his life depended on it. You see, nothing of significance happens in our life until our play rises to the level of Smitty's. We're in those three areas, your faith and your family and your ministry. Nothing of significance takes place until you start living in those three areas like your life depended on it. See, some of us here need God to do a miracle in our faith because there's doubts that are just disenchanting our heart. On the inner chambers of our lives, we're just disheveled, and we just need God to put things together. Well, you're here today because God wants to speak to you where the embryo of miracles begins. He's all powerful. He's waiting on our hearts. And for us to give rise to the miraculous, we've got to be a people who live in those three areas like our life depended on it. Let me explain. Let me begin with what Paul says in the book of Corinthians. And would you read it with me? It's at the top of your notes and it'll come up on the screen. But he uses a metaphor of running. And let's read out loud what Paul the Apostle says. Would you read it? Go. Don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you... Run in such a way that you what? You win. You see, if we have a half a heart and we're engaged in a marriage, nothing of significance will happen until you live like your life depended on it. Where your marriage is something that you live like your life depended on it. It was Matthew chapter 15 where a lady came to Jesus and her life depended on it. It had to do with her daughter. She had a daughter that was, what the Bible says, cruelly demon-possessed. And she came to Jesus. Now, Jesus is going to answer her three times, but none of them seemed to be any good except until the fourth. But she was a Canaanite woman, and she came to Jesus. And it said a woman came from the Canaanite region, and she began to cry out. Have you ever cried out to God? You're that desperate a shape. She cried out. And she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Here's the first response. Jesus answered her not a word. In fact, even his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, send her away. She's shouting after us. Then he spoke to her and said, I was not sent to the Canaanites. I was sent only to the lost children of the house of Israel. In other words, I came for Jewish people. And I thought, what? Wait a minute. She came, didn't faze her. She came and began to bow down and said, Lord, you've got to help me. And the Lord says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Three times. Kind of not real ideal answers. Still the woman is not fazed because of her daughter. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You could tell her life depended on this miracle. And finally, Jesus answers her a fourth time. And he said to her, oh, woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Now, think about that. Three times negative answers. And I looked at that and I read it and I said, Lord, that's not nice. You're supposed to be a Christian. But it didn't faze that woman. She came back again and said, Lord, you've got to help me. Even dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the table. And the Lord says, woman, your faith is great. Be it done unto you as you wish. I looked at that and I thought, this woman was living like her life depended on it, because it did. It was her daughter. And the Lord said, your faith is great. Listen carefully. Great faith is only built when you live like your life depends on it. Some of you need a great faith for your marriage. Some of you need great faith for your finances and the condition that you're in. How do you build it? When you start to live like your life depended on it. You need a job. Well, if your life depended on it, you'd get a job. You'd go after your faith. If your life depended on your faith getting stronger, you would do it. Because there would be nothing that would stand in your way. See, sometimes we get stopped by, we say, well, the door's locked, you know, or this is, I tell you, if I knock on a door and my daughter's on the other side, hi, Dad, I'm fine, just using the restroom or whatever, I'd say, okay. But if I knocked on the door and she says, Dad, I can't breathe, help. If something depended on it, I would break the door down. You see, you live like your life depended on it, and all the things that would have stopped you don't anymore. And this woman kept speaking to God, and God gave her a miracle. Let me give you a rule of life. Here it is. This is very important. Here's a rule of life. Life will not give you what you deserve. It will not even give you what you hope and wish for. It won't even give you what is fair. I'll tell you what life will give you. Life will give you whatever you settle for. If you settle for less, that's what life gives you. If you refuse to settle for less, you'll get more. It all depends on you. What will you settle for? As you know, we took over a college, and it's now called New Hope Christian College. And in fact, four of the dancers you saw in the hip-hop are part of the students up there, and we're excited about it. In fact, I think there's 12 students from Hawaii that's in the college, and we're excited about a new generation that we get to train. And I'm now teaching more classes, and there's one young lady that came, and she was getting a D minus. And I said to her, why are you settling for a D minus? Don't settle for that. She says, I'm not settling for that. I said, yes, you are. She said, I'd rather have an A. I said, well, you're settling for a D minus. She said, I can't help it. I don't have the brains for an A. I said, it has nothing to do with brains. You've got the brains. She says, I don't. I try and try. I said, you can get an A. She said, no, I can't get an A. I've never gotten an A. I said, you can get it. She said, I can't. I've got a little one-year-old daughter. I've got a husband that demands a lot from me. I just don't have the time. I said, whoa, and I told her the story. I said, I tell you what, let's just imagine that you got a little girl, one-year-old. Yes. I said, I'm sure you love her. What if that little girl had a heart condition? Your daughter had a heart condition. And if she would require an operation, however, that operation would cost $100,000. And you don't have medical insurance, and you don't have the money. And if she doesn't have that operation, her life will not go beyond her second birthday. But what if I came to you and I said to you, I will pay for that operation. I'll pay that $100,000 for that operation under one condition. And she said, what? That you get an A in my class. I said, do you think you'd get an A? She said, you better believe I'd get an A. I said, ah, so it's not brains, is it? It's what you settle for. And if you're settling for less, that's exactly why you're getting it. If you settle for a marriage that's in the consolation bracket of life, that's why it is. You're settling for that. Don't settle for it. Life will give you not what you want, it will give you what you settle for. And only great faith can be built if you live as if your life depended on it. If you knew that getting your family, your faith together, or some things together, if it was like your life depended on it, you'd do it. You would get it done. And that which you thought was impossible becomes possible. That which you think couldn't be repaired now becomes repairable. Couldn't be reached now is reachable. Only when you live like your life depended on it, especially in the three areas of your faith, family, ministry. It's funny, A lot of times we live like our life depended on it, in playing sports or softball or football or something else. But when it comes to the core, most important values of life, we live with half a heart. We've got to flip all of that around and make sure that our hearts are conditioned correctly for what's most important in life. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, in the short few minutes we have together, I want to give you three things that will help you to condition your heart so that you can live with all your heart in those three core areas of life. Three things, and they're very short and they're very easy to remember. It all sounds the same, but the first is watch out. The second is cry out, and the third is throw out, not up, out. The first is watch out, the second is cry out, the third is throw out. Now, let me go through each of these briefly as to how to condition your heart so that you can live with all your heart, like your life depended on it. Because if you don't have that heart, you won't. But you've got to condition your heart. Get it ready. The first is watch out. Now that comes from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The scripture is going to come up on the screen and I'd like you to read it out with me how he says to watch out for your heart. Here it is. Would you read it with me? Go. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. He's saying watch out what goes into your heart. Did you know that you can build a bad heart by letting bad things in? The scripture says it this way, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth what is good, but a bad man out of the bad treasure of his heart will bring forth what is bad. In other words, make sure you build good treasure. In other words, watch what goes, what you allow into your heart. You've heard people say, you know what that person said when he called me, whatever. Man, I just can't shake it. I've been thinking about it all night long. I can't go to sleep. It's always in my head. What is that person saying? He's simply saying, is I let that go into the inner chambers of my heart. And now it's affecting everything. Watch out what goes into your heart, for out of it flows the springs or the issues of life. I remember when I was a youth pastor, we had a bunch of young people at a camp, and it was rustic enough that we actually took the water from a spring, an artesian well or a spring that came down the side of the mountain. There was a little pool, and we used to dip water, and that's how we would have our juice and make soup, etc. And the ranger in this state park would come once a week, get a vial of water mixed with a chemical, he'd shake it and check the bacteria level. Well, Tuesday afternoon, we started on Monday. Tuesday afternoon, he came up and he tested the bacteria level and he said to me, don't drink the water. I said, we've been drinking it for 2 days. He said, don't drink the water. I said, why? He said, because there's way too much bacteria in it. I said, will it kill us? He said, not right away. He put on his boots and he trekked into the hills and he said, I'll be back in 2 hours. Well, in 2 hours, he returned and he said, okay, you can drink the water. I said, you better tell me what's going on here. He said, well, it's kind of gross, but there was a dead deer in the spring up in the mountain and it was decomposing. I about threw up on his rubber boots. You see, what's in the spring or in the well or the headwaters affects everything else. And that's what the Lord is saying here in the book of Proverbs. Watch what goes into the headwaters of your well, as it were, because everything is going to flow from that. When it says watch over your heart with all diligence, that's a Hebrew word for putting a sentry or a guard over what goes into your heart. In fact, that word is like the guard that they would assign to a siege. And what is a siege? It's a city that's under attack, and this is the way they used to do it in the olden days. They would actually come with their army, surround the city, and wait, and allow nobody to go in and nobody to come out. Basically, what they would do is they just wait you out until you've run out of your food supply or water supply, and then you raise the white flag and you surrender without them having to swing one sword. They just wait you out. It's called that town is under siege. Well, the one who is the top commander who authorizes whether anyone goes in or comes out of that city, that definition or that title is what the Bible uses when it says, keep watch or put a guard over your heart and be diligent about this, for out of it flows, or in and out comes the issues or springs of life. In other words, what God is saying is, make sure you put a sentry over your heart, a guard over your heart, and keep that lid down so that if things are said to you that don't come from the throne of God, don't let it into your heart, because it'll affect you and affect everything else about you. If someone comes and speaks demeaning or condescending words and tells you things that would just destroy confidence, you know what the Bible says? Don't let it into your heart. You can let it into your ears. This is your judgment center. And when you judge that that's not what I want in my heart, I don't want it to affect me because it'll steal my confidence and steal my future and destroy my esteem, I'm just going to keep that lid shut. And I just, when it comes in and I discern that it's not from God, I just kind of flush it. I just pull on my ear and you'll hear a flushing sound. I'm not going to let it in. Just recently, we did a crusade up in Oregon. And it was fantastic, and God did great things, but there's always some skeptics and naysayers. And one guy wrote a horrible email to me. The noise was too loud and this and that. And so Mary, my assistant, and Steve Kenny read it, and they said, Wayne, you don't want to read this email, because he had sent it to several people. And it was terrible. And so I said, they said, don't read it. It's not from God. I said, so I read just the first few lines, and he said something like this. Was way too loud, the lights bothered me, and you were 40% biblical when you preached, but 60% was hypnosis. Hypnosis, like, okay. And I looked at, I thought, no, I'm just going to throw this thing away, because this guy is this strange and neurotic. And so I just threw that away, and I just kind of flushed the toilet, kavoosh. You see, because if you let that stuff go, I'm not saying just let the comfortable stuff in, because truth sometimes is not comfortable, it's painful, but you know it's truth, you let it in. But there's some things where it just comes straight from the pit of hell, and the devil just wants to destroy your insides. Be careful, it could come inadvertently through someone's words or an aside. Just don't get offended by it, because I'm going to keep my lid shut. And I know that person's having a hard day or whatever. He's tired or just dodo. And so I just flush it. I just can't let it go into my heart, because it'll affect everything else about me. You've seen how it affects other things. You know, I say it this way. I say, let's say your boss yells at you, the husband, and you let it go into your heart. It affects you so much so. Isn't it true that that husband goes home and yells at the wife? She hits the boy. Out! The boy punches his sister. The sister kicks the dog. The dog bites the cat. And the cat bites the head off the doll. I mean, it's just a chain reaction. I tell husbands, if the boss yells at you at work, go straight home, bite the head off the doll. I mean, think of all the people you saved in between. So I say, if you're hearing somebody and they're just going off at you, just kind of flush the toilet. Watch out what goes into your heart, because it affects everything about you. And if you want to live in your life with your faith and your family and your ministry with all your heart, you've got to protect your heart to make sure that it's not a skeptical heart now, or a cautious heart, or a broken heart, or now a bitter heart, because of what you let in indiscriminately. The Bible says, no, you put a sentry over your heart. I can tell when people let dumb things go in their hearts indiscriminately, because they come out and they react. I think, what's gone into your heart? Did you let a misperception get into your heart? Did you let a rumor, a piece of gossip go into your heart? It'll kill you from the inside out. Don't do it. You watch out what goes into your heart. So If you see me like this when you're talking to me and I'm just kind of playing with my ear, it's not because my ear is itchy. Watch out. Your heart is the headwaters of your life. And if you're going to live with all your heart, so that what God wants to give as miracles and what you thought was impossible now becomes possible, you've got to condition your heart for that. And the way you do it is you make sure that you watch out what goes into your heart. Now, some people might say to me, but Wayne, what if I've already made the mistake and I've left that lid up far too long? And I've got some bad stuff on the inside, so I'm bleeding on the inside. I'm broken on the inside. I'm hurting. Then you come to the second. The second is you need to cry out to God.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Live Like Life Depends on It by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will teach us the importance of crying out and throwing out if we want to see growth in our life. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.